Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Today, Jesus is speaking to the ones who have come to trust in him, to have faith in him. And he tells them that if they continue in his word, which isn't maybe the best way to translate that Greek, better to say abide, dwell, or make a home. If they will make themselves at home in his word, they will be free. John's gospel is full of this idea of making a home, of abiding, setting up camp, us with God and God with us. It's probably different, too, than the way we usually think of our relationship to the word of God. At least for me, it is. Being at home in it. More often, I think we imagine we are supposed to study it, to know it, to believe it, to obey it, to understand it somehow, impossibly. And there may be an extent to which all those things are true, but we are also to be at home in it. It holds us as much as we ever hold it, and more. God's word was so precious to our teacher, Martin Luther. It is an appropriate thing to think about on this Reformation Sunday. Luther found his spiritual liberation in his own reading of Scripture. He found the promise of love and grace that he was able to learn to trust more than his fear of not being good enough for God. And he worked to make it possible for other people to come closer to that truth, to God's word, by translating the New Testament into German so that the Bible could be put into the hands of not just clerics and elite educated people. So it is also fitting today that we bless Bibles that will be in the hands of God's children in this place, especially Emily and Eric, friends Nora and Carter. I trust that God's word is and will continue to be a home for them. I do love this idea of dwelling in God's word, of making our home there. But I wonder what that is really like. I wonder where you have been most at home in your life. In that place called home, do you have a favorite spot? Maybe a favorite time of day to go to a favorite place? When the sun comes through the window just right? Or there's a breeze? Or you have a favorite blanket or a chair? Probably you also know whatever place is truly home, that when you have to, you can navigate your way in the dark without banging your shins. Maybe you've had to learn the knack of a sticky doorknob or a tricky drawer. Maybe it's a place that's alive with memories, with stories. I wonder if God's word could be like that to us. Certainly, we probably have favorite parts, or parts that are just right at just the right time. Maybe we have had to learn a sort of maneuver to unstick a tricky part. And maybe there is much of it that still feels sort of hidden or mysterious, like the attic or the closet felt when we were younger. Do we really make ourselves at home in God's word? Perhaps. For my part, at least, I think maybe it takes a slightly more childlike faith than I've managed to maintain through the course of my life to do that. There's a story I often remember when I think about this way of being at home in God's word, of being fully a part of our sacred story. It's not even really a story, actually. It's just a holy moment that someone described once that sticks with me, even though I can't remember for the life of me who told me about it. But it was the image of a parent who peeked in to the room of their young child. She was probably not more than 4 or 5. She had just fallen in love with storybooks, and they were so real to her. And her mother saw her one day through the crack in the door with a book open on the floor. I think I've told this story before. I love it a lot. Her book was open on the floor, and her mother watched her step onto the pages of her book and sort of close her eyes in this intense way. It was like it was the best way she knew how to express how much she wanted to be a part of that story. She wanted to be in it, at home in it, just like Jesus invites us to be at home in his word. But then, of course, this is the Gospel of John, which opens, as many of us may know, with that cosmic hymn of the universe's first breaths. To be at home in the word doesn't just mean maybe to be at home in what Jesus teaches or even in all of the sacred scripture, to stand in that book and live in it, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we are at home in God's Word, we haven't decoded the secret knowledge in the book or built a fortress of the right ideas. Being at home in God's word is being at home in Christ's own self. Christ the Word, who is with God and who is God from the very beginning. And if we abide in him, he tells us we will find truth and freedom. Freedom. I don't know if any of you feel at all like the friends that were around Jesus that day when you hear those words, who didn't really know why Jesus was telling them about being free. Do we need to be made free, people of God? Do we? Or have we never been slaves to anyone, as far as we know? I mean, most of us in this room haven't ourselves been enslaved or have ancestors who were enslaved in recent history, and certainly there are those among us who do have that as part of their story. Of course, we know Jesus is also speaking metaphorically. So when we deny being captive, we forget ourselves, deny something about the story of who we are, like the folks who were with Jesus that day also did. I think this is all wrapped up in the fact that we are given the truth and the promise that is so beautiful and easy to understand and yet impossible to grasp, that we are all God's children and therefore all one body and all one family, that our destiny is bound up together, which then must mean so is our freedom. So when any one of us is enslaved in any way at all, in a way we all are, we are one body, and maybe we forget too quickly, or we want to forget, that any suffering of any of us belongs to all of us. just as much as our joy. Some of our cages might be much more beautiful than others, but as long as there is sin, we all end up in prison. So I wonder what you imagine it would be like to be truly free. Is there an anchor that is holding you down, whose name you know, that if it let you go, you could find lightness in your being again? Is there a tether that could be cut so you could fly free? I think that is often how we imagine freedom: chains, bonds, broken, release, flight. And sort of alone, maybe too. Individual, the bird that soars across the sky, is free. But I would like to suggest today that actually, we are not free, and not in the way Christ says. We are not free from our bonds. We are freed for them. I'll say that again. We are not free from our bonds. We are freed for them, which is to say that I think too often our captivity is actually in our isolation, in that denial or failure to understand how truly connected we all are. And so then in that way, to be free in the way that Jesus describes is to come down deeper to earth, not float away free of it, to reach farther into connection and relationship, not to escape it, not to need to escape it anymore, because it is no longer a place of danger or harm for anyone. When Jesus speaks these words, as is so often the case and so often gets lost in translation into a language with singular and plural yous that sound the same, the you that Jesus is speaking to when he says you will be made free isn't just you or you or me, it is you, all of you, all of us together. We are made for liberation. We are made for liberation together. We are only free when we are all free. And that is work that is far from finished. Which is part of the sadness and the poignancy, but also the beauty of celebrating the Reformation. Because if this was just a nostalgia fest where we all got to wear red and sing a 500-year-old hymn and walk through a museum of our history, perhaps it wouldn't be very life-giving. But it is not that. Because Luther discovered a new corner of the home that is Christ that he had been living in, a new corner of the home that is the Word of God that changed everything for him. It turned a haunted house full of fears and danger and shadows and punishment into a home of light and love and grace. And he wanted to share that with the world. He wanted everyone to know. And you know, that discovery continues. Because Martin didn't finish that work, didn't get it perfectly right, far, far from it, if you know our history. He didn't even get to live fully into the beauty of his own discovery, and I dare say we won't either. Freedom is big work, but the Spirit of God is up to it, is willing to wing its way through the world and the church, and Jesus will keep calling us in to make our home in him and in our sacred story and with one another. Because when we do, we are free to love, to live without fear, free to be who we've always been, children of God. So dwell in God's word. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home in Christ, who is the fullest form of everything God ever wanted to say to us. And may the Spirit of Reformation continue to call us into the future, into relationship, into freedom. Thanks be to God. Amen.